Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
And good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Tuesday, January 15th. We are 4 days away from hockey. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm thoroughly excited. I have to say, when you said that 4 days left till we actually can watch some meaningful hockey, oh boy, and I just can't wait. I'm excited. I'm damn excited. Then I hear Jim Gordon's voice, and I got all the goosebumps. The theme was pumping, and we're rocking here.
And audio is good. Everybody can hear us. That's always good. And I think it actually sounds better when you're here on Skype with me as opposed to being on the switchboard. It sounds like my mother's AM radio.
Yeah,
waiting for Harry Harrison to come on.
Yeah, it sounds better on this. You're like as clear as day, which is, you know, when I'm listening to you, when we go through the Blog Talk channel, which probably goes through Al Jazeera and then through some other black sites for the CIA or wherever it's going on. So it sounds good to me. I hope it sounds good to everybody else. But it's not a matter how we sound. It's what we say and what the people say and the masses say. So I'm psyched. I'm ready for hockey. Let's get it done.
So there's a Rangers practice is going to be on MSG tomorrow. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
11 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, the crack of 11 a.m. for late sleepers.
What are you going to do? You're going to set the alarm.
I don't know. I'm going to be up all day. Once I get up, I'm up. It's going to ruin the whole Eddie flow. My flow will be interrupted.
You'll have to get up at like 10:45. That's 2 hours early for you.
Well, I know.
You're going to have to pop a couple of Tylenol PMs tonight so you can get to bed early.
Yes. I have to say that the sacrifices that I make to watch some guys in, you know, that I unidentified Rangers, I won't be able to identify with their yellow and red jersey. I don't know. I'll be able to identify them. I think I remembered everybody how they looked from last year.
The one 3 strides behind everybody is Brian Boyle.
A lot of people, you know, Boyle, you got to remember, I mean, you know, his scoring prowess, not that much, but he's a heart and soul guy.
Oh, yeah. He works hard. So do washing machines.
Oh, come on. So.
There's big news in the Ranger world, if you will. Lexicon, I think, is the word you like to use.
Yeah, I'll throw that around. Yeah, what happened?
Henrik Lundqvist is going to appear with the Pope, the sports Pope, Mike Francesa. I think Thursday or Friday he's going to be on their show.
Big deal.
Yeah.
What kind of questions are you going to ask him?
Whatever ones they write for Francesa, that's the questions he's going to ask.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry. There's only a few Rosasco-approved questions you can ask.
Well, he's just going to – well, I meant whatever questions – whatever questions the guy that likes hockey that works at WFAN writes for Francesa.
Well, I don't know what you could ask Henrik Lundqvist. You know, I don't know.
Can I smell your finger?
Yeah, maybe that. Wow. You're really working blue so far.
I had that one. I had that one ready to go. You like that? I had that one ready to go.
Yeah. Well, I know that we, and I mean us as the Blue Shirt Underground, will be absolutely, although we like Henrik, we certainly love Henrik, but we know there's nothing informative that's going to come out of that interview. So it's going to be a fluff thing. I heard you got married. I heard you had a baby. And that'll be the end of the movie. See you later. I mean, the interview, and see you later.
So, Henrik, do you listen to my show? What do you think of me?
Yeah.
That was basically.
If
you catch that show, if you could record it, and then maybe we could play it back here on the show and goof on it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
if we get the audio for that, that'd be fun. We'll just play the whole thing and just talk over it.
Yeah. You know. He looks like a lesbian, too. I mean, not that I...
Looks like Billie Jean King.
But yeah, he's got like a lesbian look going. I don't know. He bothers me. But listen, this show isn't about Mike Francesa, there. This show is about the New York Rangers, and we have a special guest tonight.
We do. An old friend who we haven't spoken to. We haven't talked to him since not last season, but the season before, because we didn't talk to anybody last year, actually. Andrew Gross will join us from Ranger Rants, NorthJersey.com, and the Bergen Record. He's coming on. He'll be here at 8 o'clock your time. He's only got about 15 minutes, as you can imagine. These guys are swamped right now with stuff, and he's got another commitment shortly after us. So we're his warm-up, as opposed to last week when we were Russ Cohen's headliner.
Wow.
So, but yeah, we'll get him for 15 minutes. We'll ask him a couple of quick questions and get his thoughts, and we'll move on. We'll talk to him later in the season. We'll try and get Carpinello on. I know you talked to him, and see if we can get Pat Leonard back on. So we'll try and get back into getting some of the beat writers to come on with us if we can, maybe once a month or something, because that was something that we used to do. We used to have one. It seemed like every week we had somebody on, and then we just kind of stopped because it's all about us.
Well, but, yeah, and the Rangers were so good last year. We were just giddy, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of questions.
Right.
Just a lot of, you know. And so, you know, we try to smatter it in, but the show is really about me, you, and this
and me.
And you. and this throng. And this throng of Ranger fans. So enough with the frivolities. Let's get right down to it.
I want to ask you a question as we get going here. Now,
oh, I love to be asked questions.
I'm sure you do. It was announced, I guess, yesterday that center ice is going to be $50 for the season. $60 if you have DirecTV, which is me putting my hand up. And Game Center, which is the online
streaming,
basically the online center ice. But if you have an Xbox, which I know you do now, or if you have a PlayStation 3, you'll be able to stream Game Center over your Xbox or PS3. Game Center will be 40. Oh, I just had it here. I just had it in front of me. I think it's going to be $50. So you've got center ice for 50 or 60. And Game Center is $49.99. Are you okay with that?
Well,
I know you usually get center ice, right?
Yeah, I usually get it.
Okay.
Well, here's my question. Since I'm new to like the Xbox world, you know, and the whole thing, why would I choose the Game Center over the package? Is it if the center ice package wasn't available?
Well,
in my area?
In other words, why would you choose Game Center Live over Center Ice?
Right.
The advantage to Game Center Live is it's online. So you can watch that anywhere. If you have a laptop and you can go get, you know, if for whatever reason, if you're traveling, let's say, and, you know, you're sitting in Baltimore Airport, and you want to watch the Rangers, You just open up your laptop, log into Game Center, get the Wi-Fi, and there's the game.
Oh.
That's the advantage to having it, you know, to having Game Center as opposed to Center Ice. Now, the Xbox, the streaming on Xbox, that's something new for this season, but I think I'm going to try that instead of getting Center Ice, and we'll see how that goes this year. I want to try it. I figure I know the price is the same, but I figure I'll try it just to, since I'm spending less on it than I would in a full season. I'll try it on the Xbox. We'll see how it goes. That way, I know for the future, because Game Center I think is usually $99 for the year, whereas Center Ice is like $170. And since I get the football package as well, if I could save a little money on these packages, you know, I'm going out of my gourd here. So,
well, here's my deal. Now, am I supposed to be outraged by that we should have this for free, or should I be outraged that should I be pleased it's only $50? I don't.
Well, if you,
what's the consensus?
I guess if you look at it,
I have no mind of my own, so please make it up for me.
If you look at it like just from a Ranger standpoint, okay, if you're gonna buy, let's say in my case, okay, live in Phoenix, you're not gonna get to see the Rangers. You're gonna pay $160 for the year for Center Ice in a full season, okay? So essentially, you're going to pay about $2 a game. So if you look at it that way, 48-game season, 48 games, $50, you're essentially paying about $1 a game. However, take away the fact that the Rangers are on national TV, I believe 20 times if I counted it right. They will be on national
20?
TV 20 times between the NHL Network, NBC Sports, and NBC. They'll be on national TV 20 times.
Wow.
And when those...
Boy, we got popular.
Yeah, ain't that something?
We's all growed up now.
We moving on up, Wheezy. Here we comes. and if you live out of the area, and like if you live in Phoenix, if the Rangers are on the NHL Network or if they're on NBC Sports Network, formerly Versus, then you will not get them on Center Ice or Game Center. It'll be blacked out, and they'll want you. Well, I don't know about Game Center necessarily, but I know on Center Ice, they'll black it out, and you can't watch MSG or you can't watch your local feed. You have to go watch NBC Sports or NHL Network. Whereas in the New York area, you could watch the game on MSG. Does that make sense?
I have one question. And listen, I'm an ignoramus, you know, about this whole – I just got the hockey live streams thing. I signed up for a month. I really like it. Do they offer like an archive thing on Game Center Live? Like, can I watch the games on demand, like the night after, or
yes,
2 hours? You can.
Yes.
See, I like that.
Streaming video, live broadcast, post game replays, in game highlights, classic games, DVR functionality, live rewind. I'm reading this right off the website. Restart. You can restart the game. You can pause the game. You can go in slow motion. You can get the home or the away broadcast. You can get the radio broadcast. There's live chat if you're interested. There's multi-game views. You can watch it on your smartphone or your tablet if you have an iPad or one of those Samsung tablets or I guess the Google tablet. And then it says PS3 and more, but I know I read that it's going to be available on Xbox. There it is, Xbox 360. So NHL Game Center for Xbox 360 brings you live games, replays, classic games, and videos from NHL Video Center, plus controller-free entertainment with the power of Kinect, if you have a Kinect for Xbox 360. And like someone said in the chat room, you do have to have Xbox Live Gold, which I believe you do have, don't you?
No.
Oh, you don't have Live Gold.
I don't have it.
That's why when I send you chats on Xbox, that's why you can never get in there with me.
Oh, I never accept them because I'm playing Rocksmith. I've got my guitar in hand. I'm jamming out, and all of my next thing I see is you want to go to a chat party with Jim Schmiedeberg, and I'm like, no, I'm jamming out. I'm learning how to play guitar here.
Hey, don't give out my. It's the Dark Schmied.
Oh, sorry.
There's Megan. Get out of here. Get out of here, kid. You bother me.
I could sign up for a month or so. I mean, how long is the season going to take? I mean, but my problem with all this signing up for all this stuff, now I see you're out of state. Some people are out of state. But if I'm with MSG, I'm going to have 48 games crammed in with the Rangers.
Right.
There'll be the Comedy Central with the Islanders.
Right.
So I can just, you know, for comic relief, I'll turn into that.
Right.
Tune into that. Then I got the Devil Dogs. I get to watch that nonsense and, you know, just yell obscenity. So I got a lot of games right there, plus what they sprinkle in on NBC and all that stuff. And then the playoffs, the package kind of sucks in the playoffs because then all the games just basically are on NBC, especially after the first round. But $50, really, you know... That's basically what they would have charged for half a season anyway, correct? I mean, it used to be like $170, $180, I think it was last year.
Then they usually discount it after January 1st or something like that down to $60 or $70. So I think it's reasonable. $50 isn't bad. You can pay it off 2 months, two payments at $24.99, and it could be worse. I knew we weren't going to get it for free.
You don't get much for this world. And not when it has cable companies involved. You're not going to get anything for free.
Well, the rumor was that Game Center, the online, would be live. But, you know, they're not going to give that away for free because then who's going to buy the package?
Right.
You know? So, what are you going to do?
That's all right. All right. Now that my TV schedule is all right. Straightened out.
And you're up to speed now.
I'm up to speed. I sometimes always miss a loop somewhere. I'm kept out of the loop, or I don't go into the loop. I don't go near it. I don't hear it. Now I'm loopy.
You're looped.
I'm looped.
We're officially looped.
And you actually called me earlier this week, and we were talking, and you're like, hey, did you hear that Gaborik got moved to left wing?
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Is this serious? Is this a serious thing? Should I be taking this seriously? I mean, a lot of people are poo-pooing it.
Well, that's what people do. They immediately poo-poo everything.
But from what you were telling me, and maybe this could be corroborated, because you know, I do find you believable, but to a certain point.
Right, well,
that
myself as well.
That he played left wing in Slovakia. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. I actually spoke to his coach with the Slovakian team, Ruslan Manastranov. And he gave me a breakdown of his game on left wing, said he is strong on left wing, can play there, and the Rangers will have nothing to worry about. Now, of course, that was all in Slovakian, and I had to translate it on Google, but that was what I got out of it. And thanks again to Ruslan for speaking to me.
Wow.
And for accepting a collect call.
Yes, very good, very good. So, so this is definitely, it's set ablaze some of my friends and a lot of people on the Facebook group that this was kind of needless to do, that why don't you just flip-flop Nash since he has played more left wing, and I don't know, some people wanted it just for the power play, I don't know, everybody gets all upset, but I think the reasonable Ranger fan that's followed this show and followed John Tortorella's tenure as coach knows that this is probably going to last for about 11 seconds.
Well, what's funny is that under John Tortorella, it was in that article yesterday, that Gaborik has played left wing for the Rangers once. And that was in, I think it was December of 2010, a game here against the Coyotes, which the Rangers lost 3-2 and fell behind 3-0 in that game. And then made a mad dash. I seem to remember Dubinsky getting a goal with about 8 minutes left in the third period, and that game made it 3-2, and the Rangers were kind of swarming and just could never tie it up. But that was the one time that Gaborik played left wing. But anyway, I like the idea because it puts Hagelin on that first line with Richards and Nash, gives Hagelin a chance to... come on. I know I'm tough on Brian Boyle, and some of it's exaggerated for the shtick of the show. But come on. Anybody that wants to see Carl Hagelin skate with Brian Boyle, or excuse me, let me rephrase that. Anybody that wants to see Brian Boyle seven strides behind Carl Hagelin going down ice, you're out of your mind. Nothing wrong with, shut up, Cutter. I don't want your opinions on the Rangers. I barely want them on the Maple Leafs. So shut up.
welcome back, Cutter.
He can go jerk himself off.
Oh my God!
Hagelin on the first line. I think that'll be fun to watch with Richards and Nash, and then Gabrick if they can make that work with Stepan on the second line. If they can click together like they did last year, and then Callie on the right. You got two lines that you got that other teams got to scheme against. Kreider on the third line because that's where he plays according to you in Connecticut. He's the first liner for the Rangers in the playoffs. He goes to Connecticut to be a third liner, to be a grinder.
Well, Kenny G, not one of the brightest coaches in the league, in the AHL.
Oh, he's a rising star.
Actually, he's actually going to be inducted into the AHL Hall of Fame.
Well, he played the NHL for 42 years, right?
Right. He's being rewarded for being mediocre.
he was a New England Whaler, wasn't he?
Yeah, he goes pretty far back.
Tulsa Oiler. He was
the Tulsa Oilers. Wow. I remember them. Yeah. The Tulsa Oilers,
AHL team for one season.
Yeah, I think their rink got flooded or something. I remember something like that was I remember JD saying something about that or Jim Gordon or Bill Chadwick or Steve Weeks was playing there. So you got the Hagelin thing, and you got the Carl Hagelin thing. Now, look, I think that a lot of people are cheesed off that Kreider is not getting that first line opportunity over Hagelin. Now,
making bones.
That's what I'm saying. I know your memory gets skewed. You thought he was gangbusters, and he certainly made an impact in that playoffs, but. He's got to make his bones. And that's why I think people were so disappointed about what he did in Hartford is that they kind of expect this guy to be a point-of-game guy, and he isn't. He isn't now. Maybe he will be. Maybe he won't. He's got to learn to play. And Hagelin, you know, he's got a year under his belt in the NHL.
Right.
So, you know, you got to have him up there. Now, whether he's going to certainly suffer playing with Boyle and Pyatt with his offensive numbers, but he's got to learn to play the game.
Right.
And maybe he'll see some power play time.
I mean, you know, this is a – you know, this kid came right from Boston College into the Stanley Cup playoffs, and played, what, 60 – I don't know. Did he play every playoff game? Probably not, right? Six, I don't know. 15, 16 playoff games I think he played with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, he scored a couple of great goals for them. Did find, you know, found himself a little bit in the Chateau Bow Wow. You know, he's got to learn the style and everything. There's no practice, you know, there's no regimented practice during the playoffs like there is, you know, there's no training camp. He's got to, for lack of a better term, he's got to make his bones. If he's as good as we all think he's going to be, then he's not going to be on the third line for very long, and don't worry about it. If Chris Kreider on the third line is the biggest problem, I'll be all right with that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'll tell you one thing. If they don't have I know they still don't have that other offensive defenseman to complement the recently signed Michael Delzato. They still don't really have that. But they, up front, the power play forwards is friggin' dynamite on both. They'll have two solid units. And I don't ever remember them having two solid units. I remember them having barely half a unit. You know, with Gabrick, Christensen, and Dubinsky, or you know what I'm saying? Now, you got two.
Dubinsky.
That's going to be old habit that's going to die hard, is Dubinsky.
Brandon Dubinsky reported for camp with the Columbus Blue Jackets and said to the press, I didn't feel like I was reporting to my new team. I just felt like I was reporting to my team. And then he was spotted in the shower, sobbing naked like Glenn Close in The Big Chill. Somebody please help me.
Sorry. So. Yeah, you're right. right. He's trying to convince himself over there.
Right, right.
But so Michael Delzato signed. That was good. I mean, I think that was more than fair. I was really pleased with Uncle Slats. Really, I thought what was a very prudent deal for both sides.
Yep.
And
I agree.
And the Matt Gilroy signing, okay, I mean...
Excuse me. Future Norris Trophy candidate, Matt Gilroy signing.
Yes.
You don't just call the Queen Liz. You address her by her title.
Well, he's also the Hobie Baker.
That
winner.
Too. Either Such... of those would be acceptable.
Right. And I think the Gilroy signing is not so much about Gilroy's play, which has been... very inconsistent with the Whale. And, you know, the guy's been on, what, four teams in 4 years. I think it's because Torts is familiar with him. And I think Torts really likes that factor of having a guy he know he can motivate and get the most out of. Now, a lot of people, are saying that, I think a lot of people worried about that, the 6D man spot. And I think you're wasting your time thinking if you're never going to get the perfect 6D man. You're not going to get And Stu Bickle played well last year. He gave you an edge. He seemed to be a people's hero last year until the playoffs when he got banished. But
whoever they put back there was fine.
Right.
Emminger was okay. You're never going to find the perfect 6 defenseman. I mean... back through your history books, but whoever they put back there seemed to be. Who else did they? Strawman, right? For a while was the 6D man. Who else was back there? Somebody else.
You had Sauer till he got hurt. That was early on. Let's see who else. Blake Parlett. No.
Carol Vadney.
It seems so long ago.
Yeah,
I thought it was.
Well, it was.
Oh, Jeff Wojcicka.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And
Wojcicka. Forgot about him.
Jeff
Wojcicka.
Oh, man.
Wow.
He's gone, thankfully.
Yeah, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. I thought Bickle was fine as a 6 guy. He's going to. Now, the problem is that, if you want a puck moving defenseman, why do we have him on the third pairing D? Is that because we're so awesome in the top four that you really can't break our top four?
I think
that actually is the answer to my question.
I know there's a lot of you guys on hold, but we're going to have Andrew Gross here in just about a minute or two. So you might want to call back when he's done, because I don't want to leave you on hold for another 15 minutes while we talk to Andrew. And then, however long it takes us to get to you. So you might want to hang up and call back in. I know there's a lot of you on hold, including Frankie, who I hate to leave on hold, but we'll get to you in a little while there, Frankie. I see you on hold and Costa, and I think Adam's on hold, and maybe Stan from Bayside, if I'm looking at the numbers there. And Costa, of course, is on hold. But we'll get to you guys in just a little while. Andrew Gross should be here in a minute or two.
Somebody said, hey, Eddie, what's harpooning with Jeff Wojcicka? Mike Digg.
Mike Digg, also known as Dig Deep from Blue Shirt Banner.
Nice. I see they got a whole new look over there.
Yeah, I don't like it. I was upset with it. I felt, it was kind of like, I don't know. It was bittersweet.
I have to agree with you. The other one looked more user-friendly. This looks like it's like trying to be some kind of magazine or something. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, I also don't like the new logo.
Yeah, with that torch and the whole bit?
Yeah, and the barbershop stripes. I didn't like it. And I'm not just saying that because my son designed the original logo for Blue Shirt Banner. It's just I just think it was unique. It had pizzazz.
Yeah, and I think they do a good job over there.
Oh, yeah.
Joe and Dig Deep and whatever.
Kevin Power and the rest. They're not ready for primetime writers. Mike Dig Deep is not me. Oh, well, that's odd. Dig Deep's name is Mike, and you're Mike Dig.
Wow, maybe he's undercover.
How bizarre.
How bizarre.
How bizarre.
That stupid song.
Yes, I do.
It's the worst. So So you've got that, the Delzado signing. You've got Gaborik on the left wing. You got the Rangers opening up. Now, I heard there may be some discounts at MSG for the opener. Is that the case?
Yeah. Programs will be only $9.
Wow. Half the price.
Two for three on beers.
Two for three?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know. They're not giving anything away. Come on.
That's what I saw on the Facebook thing.
Oh, I don't think they're giving anything away. I don't know.
Except pucks.
Yeah.
And their own ends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait to get Andrew, because I want to know some things about what's going on in camp there. I need to get an assessment of some of these new guys. You know me, I'm a worrier.
I know.
I'm worried about Halpern and Asham and all this other stuff, but you know, there you go. And I'm a little bit worried, and it seems to me that what I've been hearing is that Tortorella has kind of eased up on the rigors of his training camp this time, since it's such a short season, and and maybe taking it easy on them. And
I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Does he ever strike you as a take it easy on him type of person?
No.
even those dogs he rescues look tired.
He's running them up and down Central Park. We need more jam.
Let's arrive go. Keep your discipline here now.
Yeah. Arrive at that milk bone with an ill humor.
See that Great Dane over there? A great dog, but don't shit your pants on him.
So it'll be interesting to see what's going on. Who's hosting that thing tomorrow? We're not going to get the Ranger camp thing tomorrow. Anybody know? Am I going to get to see Big Head Al Troutface? And
it's got to be Gian Drone.
Oh, God. I'll go right back to sleep once I hear that guy's voice. What do we call him? Human anesthesia or something? I don't know what it was. But D.B. David is saying Ash is suspended.
He is?
Apparently.
What the hell did he do?
I don't know.
How did he get suspended so fast?
He had a fight with Garnett Exelby.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. D.B. Maven. This is carryover from last year.
Oh. We don't have Andrew Gross here yet. It is 8 o'clock. Let me make sure. No, that's Frankie. I know that. He's calling from the same area code Frankie calls from, but I'm pretty sure that I'm 99.9% sure that that's Frankie. So.
Isn't Frankie like...
He's in Florida, but he's still got a New York area code. He was on the cell phone.
Oh, okay, yeah. I forgot about that. So I don't know. Anything else coming up? Is this time for the show to end?
Yeah, that's I don't know.
No, a lot of people talking about, I think it was, Stan's only worried about the penalty killers, which is certainly a big concern. Like I said last week, you lost Artie, you lost Dubinsky, you lost Prust, you lost a lot of those guys. But I think they should do pretty well in that regard, because, you know, you still have Callahan, which is certainly one of the best PK guys in the league. You have Boyle. So you just got to find like a second unit that can do the job, and hopefully they have that.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's bring Frankie on, and then if Andrew calls in, we'll start taking calls, and when Andrew Gross calls in, we'll put people on hold instead of making people wait while we just sit here.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Frankie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good to hear from you.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm struggling down here in the 80-degree weather out here in Fort Myers.
Oh, poor you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a terror. Everything is in bloom. All the flowers out. Everybody's got asthma and everything else, except me. And I'm enjoying it. Waiting for spring break when all the babes come down here by the millions.
Oh, that a boy.
Definitely beats the Jersey Shore and the Hamptons for sure. Not even close. You left out a penalty killer, Hagelin. I think Hagelin did a good, decent job for the Rangers last year. He's got a year under his belt, and he should get the job done. He's the fastest skater on the team, so I think he's going to probably play a more significant role on the PK this season as the coach looks, Tortorella looks for more quickness on the PK. I am kind of disappointed in one thing with training camp already. I mean, if you're making $12 million a year and you're supposed to be a leader, can you please, with that $12 million, go to Walgreens and spend $25 on a flu shot? And we know who we're talking about, right?
Brad Richards.
Yes. Come on.
Weren't you saying that about him last year, too? Didn't he get the flu?
Yes. Yes. I mean, geez, is this like deja vu, what Yogi Berra used to say all over again?
Hey, Frankie, I'm going to put you on hold real quick. We'll get back to you in just a few minutes. I see that Andrew Gross is on hold for us. Let's welcome back to the show from the Bergen Record, NorthJersey.com, and Ranger Rants, Andrew Gross. Andrew, good evening. Jim and Eddie, how are you?
Hey, Jim and Eddie. How's it going tonight?
Good, good. Thank you for taking
it. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are just thrilled to finally be talking real hockey.
Yeah, we kind of spent our time. We switched over to Giants and Jets, but that got old.
Yeah. you and me both. That's how I spent my fall.
Were you covering both teams or just the?
Yeah. I would bounce back and forth. You know, do one team one day, another team the other, and usually whoever was home that weekend, I'd get out to the game.
Oh, okay. Well, so you're glad hockey's back. I'm sure you've been quite busy this week.
Yeah. It's been good. Actually, it's been this week and last week because it was pretty much full squad with the informal skates in the days leading up to training camp, you know, from basically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, there were three really, really good full squad skates, minus, you know, Jeff Halpern's wife had a baby, I think, on Wednesday. He was the only guy not there once Hank and Gabby got into town.
Oh, okay. Was Halpern excused? Did Tortorella let him go have his baby? Or?
Well, Torts, officially Torts had no say over what was going on, although he watched the practices. But yeah, you know, Jeff, it kind of worked out for Jeff and his wife that, she had birth, you know, she gave birth before the season actually started. So
she's a good wife right there.
Yeah, exactly.
She actually hurried the birth in order to avoid the eye of Torts. It's like the eye of Sauron.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's you know, they were busy last week, and, you know, the tempo and the speed of the training camp skates have been, I've been pleasantly surprised. You really didn't know what you were going to get, you know, coming out of the lockout, and it seems like these guys really kept up with the work. You know, they were anticipating a season. They knew the demands were going to be there, you know, from Torts. You know, if there was a season, they didn't want to get caught behind. And I think you look at two guys really to, thank for that. I think Brad Richards and also Ryan Callahan really went a long way in organizing the team activities during the lockout.
Now, I know Tortorella had said that he wouldn't tell you guys if he's altered his practices, but this is your, third camp now with Tortorella covering the Rangers? Third full training camp?
Actually, he's going into his fourth full season, so I think this is number four.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Have you noticed anything different, or is he working him just as hard as he did last September, a year ago, August or September?
No, I mean, you know, he's definitely adjusting it for the circumstances. I mean, you know, the obvious stuff is during a normal Torch training camp, first 2 days, you don't see any pucks. He just has them, you know, conditioning tests and skating and endurance skating and sprints. And, you know, he really bag skates them the first 2 days. And the purpose of that is not so much, you know, what they do on ice that day. Although if you're lagging, it certainly catches the coaching staff's eye. Bobby Sanguinetti certainly comes to mind as a guy who just couldn't get through that stuff. But, you know, it's to keep the players honest through the off season to make sure they're working. But you know, as Torch said when we asked him after day one, when you know they came out with sticks and pucks and they got right into the drills, the breakout drills and the corner battles, and he said if we worked them, you know, if we did that skating stuff right off the bat, he was really afraid he was going to injure his guys, and he can't afford that. There's only 6 days, and you're right into the regular season. You know, so, and the other stark contrast is, you know, he's only got 22 guys in camp. Normally the Rangers will start, you know, with four different groups and go, go over 30 people to start camp. And he didn't want to waste any time. He just wants the 22 that, you know, that he thinks or he projects to start the season with. And he knows the guys down in Hartford can fill in because they've been playing all season. He doesn't need to see those guys right now. So those are two big differences. Today, I mean, we went out there, and they had a really hard skate on day two yesterday. We went there today, and they were on and off the ice in 50 minutes. You know, so they're getting their work in. It's a lot of stuff we don't see in the classroom and in the theater with video. That's where Torts is really trying to put together the team concept that he always talks about. You know, he shows them examples. He was talking about, you know, showing some breakout stuff, some Mark Stahl up ice rushes from a couple of seasons ago. So he's really using video to highlight what he wants to do rather than, you know, really, really killing them on the ice to start.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. That was one of my favorite parts of 24/7 last year. They were in between periods of a game, and Callahan mentioned something to Torts about, I couldn't even tell you what it was. And Torts said, "Let me go check the video, and we'll figure it out." And he just like, boom, he was gone into the office. Check the video. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, how his mind works and how he's, you know, teaching like that constantly and adapting with the video. It's
well, Torts is, I mean, probably the most unsung hero in the Rangers organization is Jerry Dineen, who's the video coach, who's asked to put together, you know, all these compilations of clips and examples that Torts wants to show. Jerry does a fantastic job. But, yeah, you know, I mean, if you know, not that I'm on the team's charter flight, but if you're on the charter flight, Torts is looking at video on his laptop. In the hotel room, he's looking at video. You know, he doesn't stop with that stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw that on 24/7.
Yeah.
He gets on the plane, and the DVD player opens right away, usually, or the computer, I guess.
And I also thought the example you brought up, because it was a great way, it was one of my favorite moments in 24/7. I think it also gave you a little window into the relationship between Callie and the coaching staff. You know, how much they respect Callie's opinion. And it was something to do in the offensive zone, something with the way the defense was setting up. And Callie pointed it out to Torts. And I think it was something that Torts, you know, didn't recognize right off the bat himself. He needed a player to show it to him. And that's why he said, you know what, you're right, I'm going to go right to the videotape. I agree with you, though, that was a great moment in the series.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, with the relationship with Callahan, when they're, I think they were practicing, and he says to Callahan, "Callie, what time are we leaving?" And Callahan says, "Half an hour," and Tortorella said, "That's it, be ready in a half an hour, we're out the door." You know, another one of the, you know.
And I think also it kind of dispels the whole notion that Tortorella is a dictator, he's the one who's calling every shot, that he actually – you know, values the player's opinion and almost uses them as the co-coach, which I think kind of gave me insight to him that I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't, you know, I would put it this way. Tortorella always has final say, and he has very strong opinions, but he is not the closed-minded person he, you know, he sometimes gets painted with a broad stroke with. He listens to his players. He may not listen to the media, and he may not listen to many other advisors, but he does listen to his players.
Right.
And when you say that, particularly guys, you know, like a Callahan, and you know, I know he's not the captain, but the imprint Brad Richards has made on this team in the way the guys handle themselves, the way practices are run, the way the team travels, it's sort of like when Messier was with the team. You know, you're going to do it Mark Messier's way. And Brad Richards, you know, although I'm not trying to compare him as a leader to Mark Messier, I'm just saying that Brad has definitely put his stamp on this team in terms of the way, you know, they need to conduct themselves.
Hmm. And I think we had talked about it last year, you know, with Brad Richards coming in, just that stupid Broadway hat. It's little things like that that kind of bring a team together. That became such a big deal with who wore that hat, and it's got its own Twitter account. And I mean, but that was just a little thing that a leader brings to a room like that.
Yeah, no, Brad's. You know, Brad's not only been through this; he's been through this with Tortorella, and that makes him invaluable. And yeah, you know, I agree with you. It's those, you know, it's those things that guys on the outside, you know, who haven't been in a team situation may look at as a little bit silly, but you know what? Team bonding is a crucial part of any season. And that's why, you know, during training camp, you know, teams usually try and get away for a day or two to do it. You know, even if it's just going bowling together, or like when Tom Rennie was the coach, he had the guys go up to West Point. And,
right,
you know,
yeah,
exactly. You know, it's stuff like that away from the ice. Anytime those guys can really, you know, bond together, and you know, in an NFL situation, that's why the Jets love, even though they have this billion-dollar, you know, practice facility they built in Florham Park, that's why they want to go up and, you know, stay in the dorms at SUNY Cortland. It's to make sure the guys are together and, you know, learning to love each other.
Right, right. So how does Rick Nash so far, how does he seem to be handling the press, everything else? What's your impression?
He's really, you know, a low key quiet guy, but I wouldn't mistake that for being shy or shying away from any of the big city stuff. I mean, I had a pretty good one-on-one chat with him yesterday just about that subject, and you know what, people forget this is a kid who grew up in Toronto. You know, and who, you know, his memory of how the NHL should, you know, be covered and be considered important is the way the Toronto media covers the Maple Leafs, which, you know, in a New York context, it's crazier than the way the Yankees are covered around here. I mean, the Maple Leafs are the absolute pulse and heartbeat of that city, and, you know, and that's what Rick Nash remembers, and that's what he wants to be a part of. And, you know, at first, you know, he admitted he found it strange. He thought he wanted to be a Columbus Blue Jacket for his whole career just because he was so comfortable there. And now, you know, that he's gotten a little time and space and remembered what his childhood is like, he said, you know what, it's probably a good thing I didn't spend my whole career in just no one thing. You know, it's good to have different experiences, and I know he's really itching to for this chance. And you know, maybe it sounds cliche, but playing for an original six franchise really means something, especially, you know, to guys who grow up in big hockey markets in Canada. It's really special to them.
Hmm. Eddie,
I wanted to ask Andrew about the new guys, Taylor Pyatt, Aaron Asham. I know Jeff Halpern with the baby and the whole thing. What have you been able to glean from their games, and maybe tell Ranger fans about what they're like, and have you had the chance to talk to them?
You know what? I've talked to both Jeff and Taylor, and they're both, you know, down-to-earth, you know, good-natured human beings who are going to fit into that dressing room just fine. Haven't cornered Aaron Asham yet. I mean, with Asham, I don't think there are any surprises. I mean, you've seen his career. You know what you're getting with this guy. He's a scrappy guy. He's going to take some bad penalties. He's going to get into some fights where you just smack your head going, you know, this isn't the time or the place. But he's a good energy guy, and, you know, he can, you know, when he's sticking to hockey, he, you know, he can contribute in a fourth-line role. So I don't think there are going to be any surprises with Aaron. Taylor Pyatt's a big kid. That's the one thing you notice. And when he gets around the net, he's got a long reach. You know, he seems to skate okay. And I think he's going to start off on the third line, quite possibly with Brian Boyle and Chris Kreider. They've been skating together. You know, Jeff Halpern will probably center the fourth line with Rupp and Asham. You know, at least after the first game, after Asham serves a one-game suspension. But I also think you're going to see Jeff being used in a lot of crucial face-off opportunities. You know, especially in the defensive end. You know, they'll get him out for the face-off and then probably get him off the ice. You know. Especially if he's, you know, if he's got, you know, Gabby and Cali on his wing for that, you know, for that face-off. So I think you're going to see a lot of Jeff in spot situations.
How much of a fact do you think that Matt Gilroy, if any, will play? I mean, he did struggle in Hartford. I think he was like a minus 17, minus 18. I got a good chance to watch. He did struggle a little bit in Hartford. But do you think the reason he's back in camp primarily is because of the familiarity that Tortorella has with him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and not so much with Torts. Glenn Sather, probably his best trait as a human being, and maybe it's a failing as a general manager at times, is overwhelming sense of loyalty he has to guys who have played for him before. You know, you saw it. He took Sean Avery back against all good advice because he had Tortorella coming in, and you knew that wasn't going to work. And Sather's point of view was, well, you know, we love Sean, so we're going to make John love Sean. You know, I mean, obviously it didn't work, but you know, a couple of years ago, he gave Peter Nedved at age 37 or 38 a training camp tryout. You know, he's brought Danny Lacouture back for another, you know, just to try and get a crack somewhere, if not in the Rangers organization, then to just have someone see him. Glenn is just very loyal to his guys. And you know what? I think, you know, Gilroy struggled last year between Tampa Bay and Ottawa, and he needed a job. And those are the kind of guys that Glenn will reach out to. As far as what kind of impact he's going to have on the Ranger roster, I mean, he's certainly not in the top six right now because, you know, as Torts said today, I mean, the top five are obvious. You got, you know, Ryan McDonough and Dan Girardi and Mark Stahl and Michael Delzato, and then Anton Stralman will round out the top five. And I got to tell you, that's as good a top five probably as you'll see around the NHL. You know, probably the sixth defenseman then is a Stu Bickel because you're going to need that grit.
Right.
And then, you know, or if, you know, probably in the first game they'll dress Stu up front as a forward in Asham's place. And then, you know, Steve Eminger is probably the next guy in. So I think Matt's got a long way to go to really crack into the rotation here. But, you know, he also recognizes that himself. I was talking to him the other day about getting another opportunity with the Rangers, and, you know, he was just talking about having to find his confidence and having to find his niche within the NHL, what he does best, and doing that. And so far, you know, over three spotty NHL seasons, he really hasn't come across his niche yet.
Yeah, and I think one of the Tortorella's big pluses to me, he seems to get the most out of his defensemen. He certainly gets him into almost an overachieving mode. I mean, Steve Eminger was a guy that they picked up on waivers and, was kind of like, was kind of probably heading his way out of the NHL. And he's certainly become a really good player, that sixth spot. So I think if he's going to flourish, he'll certainly have a better chance with, I think, John Tortorella and most coaches. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, no, I think you make a good point about the coaching staff, and it's not just Torts, because during practices, Jim Schoenfeld is the guy who really works with the defensemen on the ice. So, I mean, Shoney obviously was, he was a really good NHL defenseman.
Oh,
he was
fantastic.
He was very snarly, but he could punish you, but he also had skills, too. He could move the puck. So, you know, Shoney working with him on a day-by-day basis, I think, does wonders for him. And then on the bench, you know, Mike Sullivan, the assistant, is the one who's calling out defense pairing. So, you know, he should get a little bit of the credit for that, too. And then, you know, when I was talking to Gilly about being down at Connecticut, and he said, you know, just working with Jeff Bookaboom for a half season, you know, you forget that Books is now an assistant coach down there. He took Samuelson's spot. He said working with Bookaboom was just amazing, the knowledge that Books could impart.
Hmm. Wow.
Well, Andrew, I know you're pressed up against another engagement, so we'll let you go.
Well, Jim and Eddie, you know, thanks so much for having me on. It was great talking to you guys.
Thank you, and hopefully you find some time for us during the season. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, yeah, no, just give me a buzz, and we'll chat later.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Yeah,
take care.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye. Andrew Gross from NorthJersey.com, the Bergen Record, covers Ranger Rants. And, you know, I don't – all the times I think we've asked him to come on, I don't think he's ever said no. I don't think he's ever said, I can't do it. He may have said, I've only got a few minutes, but he never says no, and we do appreciate it.
Yes, definitely.
So we'll get back to the phones. Let's pick up with Frankie here, and we'll finish up our thoughts with Frankie. Frankie, thank you so much for taking an intermission there in the middle of your call. You were talking about Carl Hagelin on the penalty kill.
Yeah,
and
he
go.
He definitely has the skills. He's in a leadership role. He was a captain at the Michigan team. He has many skills. And penalty killing might be just one of the ones we tap into this year. I also saw a little of Dylan McElrath, and he's come back from his knee injury. And he is really kind of shocking because he has gotten so much bigger, wider, and he has this ability to skate backwards. He's very mobile, and he really hurts people when he hits them. I think he's going to be called up before the end of the season, probably to replace Bickle. Kreider, I've kind of lost some confidence in. He doesn't.
Why? What did Kreider do?
Well, Kreider has not done well in the AHL. He's had like 5 goals. Even Christian Thomas, who hardly plays at all at Hartford, has 8 goals, and he's a year younger. And I can't see Kreider playing on a third or fourth line. He doesn't have that defensive skill set that a Lundqvist would require or a Tortorella require. Kreider's got to be a first or second line player. He can't play on third or fourth lines. That's not what he's all about.
Well,
so unless
in my opinion, and like Eddie said before, I wouldn't put too much stock and what line he's on going into the season, because Tortorella changes line combinations like it's a bodily function. Rarely do they get through a game with the same lines that they started with. So,
yep,
you know, there's going to be
right
constant jiggling and juggling, and Kreider will be all over the place. I wouldn't worry about it.
But will he be productive in that role? Like Hagelin,
yes,
had that role last year. You didn't know who Hagelin was going to play with, but, you know, he back-checked. And that's what he does. And he, Tortorella, was able to, and Hagelin were able to coexist with whatever role that Tortorella put Hagelin on that particular period. But I don't know if Kreider can do that. I don't think his makeup is like that.
Well,
I think he's
only one way we're going to find out, Frankie.
And I think he'll probably end up in Hartford at some point in time.
Well, If he's not ready, he's not ready, and then he'll go to Hartford until he is ready. You know how to,
and
how it works with this coaching staff.
Yep, that's the way this coaching staff does it. If you're not ready, you start out the season in Hartford.
Exactly.
And you either buy into that philosophy or not.
Right.
And you know, that's basically what I have to say tonight. So, gentlemen, have a good night and continue with the calling.
Thanks, Frankie. We'll talk to you next time. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, very welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye, guys.
The one and only Frankie. All right. And now I believe we have Stan from Bayside. Stan, how are you?
Very good.
Good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah,
hello,
I was
Stan.
On the phone because Blog Talk, I keep losing the sound on there.
Oh, well, you got to hold one arm out the window with a piece of tinfoil in your hand. you got to have another hand on a piece of metal inside the house.
Yeah,
you need,
with them
you need
sending
an eastern exposure.
Yeah, they always send me the update the next day that you guys were on. That's why I missed last week's show.
Oh, yeah. That seems about
right. I was a little surprised because Stan, because the last week I did miss you, Stan, because I know that you try to keep up with the show. And
Stan, the only thing that works for Blog Talk Radio is their billing.
Yes.
They nothing's ever screwed up with their billing, trust
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Yeah, that you can always count on.
Right.
So what are your thoughts? First of all, I have to disagree with Frankie. Shocker. I don't think Dylan McElrath is, unless there's some severe injury problems with the Rangers, is going to wind up playing any games for the Rangers this year.
Probably not.
I mean, he needs to play down there, and he needs to get some ice time, and he certainly can fight from what I've seen, but he needs to play. And I think he will certainly not develop up here playing. And he's, I think still a year away from, getting a shot at the team. But that's my other thing. All right, Stan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Especially he missed the first half of the season. I went up to catch a Whale game a couple weeks ago. And, he got suspended after his first game. So
right.
His second game, I emailed you, Jim.
Who did they play that game? Because I've been watching the games.
What's that?
Who did they play that night?
The Phantoms. Remember? That's the Flyers.
All right. Yeah, they. What was that? Yeah, they actually. I think they won. Is that the one where Zach Rinaldo cheap shot at Horivic?
No. Well, one of the Flyers took a run at. The Phantoms took a run at Ryan Bork, and McElrath was on the ice, and only the ref saved this guy from being murdered because McElrath was on him in about a nanosecond. He was going to rip his head off.
I know. I saw it. It was like a one-punch deal, and the guy was like, oh, boy. I know he can fight, but whether he can play, what did you glean from seeing him?
Well, it's only his second game, you know. I mean, he's a big guy. He just needs to play. He's got another, 3 months to play and develop his game. I mean, I expect him to be on the team next year. You know, he'll be all right.
So, are you excited? Are you joining the Ranger fans? Some saying the cup is ours, we're going to be a contender. Where do you think we are?
Well, they're certainly a contender. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, having Nash on this team is a big thing. I mean, I expect him to be a major player. I mean, this guy played 10 years in Columbus with absolutely nobody. In fact, I saw an article last week. Somebody had asked him what the best player was he ever played in Columbus with. He said Andrew Castles, who wasn't a bad player, but I mean, can you imagine in 10 years that's the best player you ever played with? And this guy, you know, he scores 35, 40 goals a year with nobody. So, because it's a shortened season, but he should score 20 goals in the 48 games, if not more.
You know what? There's two things that I really like about this team, and I think Andrew Gross was talking about. Think about their defense. They have probably the best top five in the league, right? And the best goalie. Vezina Trophy winner. And that puts you automatically in every game. Now, if they could ever get this lack of goal scoring, this power play ineptness fixed, they should be the one or two, the top three teams to win a Stanley Cup. That's the
Absolutely.
Way I look at it. I mean, they've got, I tell you, I know this Ryan McDonagh guy. I mean, he's an absolute stud.
Awesome.
I think he's the best defenseman on the team. I know, the other guys have some more years behind them, but I think sky's the limit with this guy. And his offense is starting to get a little offensive. So,
yeah, I just saw the other day that last year the Rangers was 23rd in the league in the power play. Now they got to be like top five this year. I mean, you're going to have Nash, Gabrick, Richards on the front line there. I mean, they're going
to
score a lot of power play goals.
And
the goal they need, if
go
they
ahead.
Score three goals a game, they're going to win 90% of their games.
Yeah, that power play has got to get straightened up. But I think with Nash, and just as a guy that's, think about it. How many times in our lifetime have we had a guy who has the net presence that Rick Nash? I think probably never. I mean, think about it. I mean, like a guy who's a power forward, let's put it that way. Maybe Tim Kerr, maybe. I don't know. There's not many of them, I could tell you that much. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, it's hard not to, you know, it's hard not to think the Rangers are going to be, you know, big time this year.
No, they'll be in the top of the league.
So apparently, I mean, does the shortened schedule worry you, or is it less time for things to go bad? That's the way I look at it.
Well, the thing is, everybody's in the same boat. You know,
right.
It's not like they're playing 48 and other teams are playing, you know, 70. The thing you have to worry about, well, they're not an old team, so that's good.
Right.
The only thing you have to worry about is if you get injuries, because, you know, you miss a month, that's, you know, half the season.
Right.
So as long as you're healthy, you should be okay.
I think it benefits them because this team, the way they put, they're in a sprint for the minute the season starts. I mean, they're at a dead sprint. They have no, there's no breaks, no slowdowns, no, you know, they play at such a frenetic pace, and I'm talking from a physical standpoint, and you know, the checking and the hitting and the blocking of the shots. I think that, and you can't tell me, I don't care what John Tortorella tells me, you can't tell me that team wasn't out of gas after a 7-round series against Ottawa and a 7-game series against Washington by the time they got to the Devils. So I think having a shortened season with the physical pounding that this team puts itself through, I think will leave them a little bit fresher for the playoffs if they make it.
I think that's a great point.
If they make the playoffs, if they don't make the playoffs, that'll be quite the shock.
I think
Well, I think it's a great point. But my other thing that I said last week's show, I would like to see the team not spend as much time in its own zone. Now that you have Rick Nash, I'd like to see, you know, us dominating the other team more. We certainly have the players. I just hope that the philosophy is just adjusted a little. And Andrew kind of said that they were kind of working on breakout passes with Mark Stahl and stuff. So I hope they're thinking more offensively. I mean, you know, I really thought that took a lot out of them. The inability to get goals and the amount of time every game, you know, you were there. I mean, every game was 1-0, and we couldn't score. And
21 shots on goal.
Right. I mean, they need, now that they have the horses, you got to run with them, you know. And so I hope it all works out. I think it will. I think it's too big to fail.
Yes.
All right, Stan, we're going to let you go. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Don't disconnect me because I'm listening on the phone.
You got it. All right, I'll put you on hold.
Take care, Stan.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, let's go to, I think this is Chandler. 612, Chandler? Nope. 612-807, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Going once, going twice. Gone. All right, let's go to 630-618. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who is this?
It's Adam.
Adam, what's going on?
How you guys?
What's going on, Adam?
I'm doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. Well, the job search rages on, so I'm glad I
heard
hockey as a distraction now.
You have my sympathies.
Yeah. I know you went through it in your house not long ago, so
yep. Yeah,
it's not fun, but we'll get through it. One way or another, we'll get through it. So, here's one of my first questions. If you go to the Rangers roster, like on the website and whatnot, you'll see like 9 defensemen, one of whom is Sauer, but there's only 12 forwards. If one of these forwards goes down, who's the first forward that they're going to bring up from the minors?
I think Lobster Newberry will probably be the first one. Again, he's Chris Newberry, for you people new to the show. I think, again,
Pickle, good job.
Yeah, he's certainly he's familiar to Tortorella. I don't have a problem with Chris Newberry if he wouldn't take stupid penalties. He's just he's not disciplined, which means that he's probably not going to last long if he does that in the NHL. For a fourth line guy, he's good on faceoffs. Now, the Rangers are in dire need. Jeff Halpern kind of is going to help out in that, but they don't have good face-off people at all, really. I mean, and so I would take Newberry, and then forward-wise, I would go with the great Chad Kolarik, the Kolarik intake for you old listeners. and maybe the possibility of a smattering. I don't know if these guys cleared waivers because they were put on waivers today.
Smattering?
A smattering of Michael Haley for maybe those Flyer games when it gets rough and tough. Because Haley could throw him. I mean, he's a beast with the fisticuffs. But other than that,
it's funny. Yeah, it's like every time somebody mentions Haley, like on a Facebook group or on a message board, they're like, "Oh, we already hate him. He already can't play."
Nah, I've watched.
I don't even know
Rangers
fans who want him playing.
Well, I think because he's got that ex-Islander stench on him. I think that's the first thing you got to deal with. I've watched him in Connecticut, and he's not a liability out there. I mean, you know, he's not like can I say anything bad about Bugard? Is it that moratorium on
it's
not the Bugard where he's just a big goof, you know, skating, or a Donald Brazil there who was terrible. You know, these
you can risk it all you want. Go ahead.
No, wait. Oh, wait. I can. Wait. This is the ultimate rip. He's not a John Scott. Oh my God!
Wow! Whip this out.
That guy, John Scott. Remember him?
Underused. He was underused.
That guy was the worst Ranger ever. And really, seriously. I know played like eight straight games.
Ever.
So
why do I get the feeling you're going to be following the draft pick that they traded him for, and like every week we're going to have an update? Here's what the Rangers gave away when they acquired John Scott.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes. Well, so you're right. There are some younger guys, first-year AHLers that I've been kind of impressed with. That Horivic looks like he's going to be something.
Oh, he's your guy.
He's my guy, but he's still young. So, yeah, there isn't much out there. The depth in the organization is not really there on the skill end right now. And I don't think it ever will be. I think the Rangers are going to go with the, you know, well, I can't say ever will be. That's a little bit much, but, you know. So
they surrendered their first round draft choice from the Nash trade, so you can kiss that one goodbye. But, you know, with everything else that they traded away from that pick, I mean, who cares? It's going to be a low pick anyway.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, plus I like Gordy Clark. You know, I certainly have a lot of confidence in him. And so the Rangers just buy their way anyway. Now, let's face it, we want a skilled player, we just buy them. Give me a bag of shells. Richards, how many years you want? 30, 40? Yeah, we'll front load the whole thing. But Gabrick, how many more years does he have on his contract? Two?
I think two.
Yeah.
And he'll be a free agent, and we'll pick some other hot commodity. So
another shiny new toy.
But the shiny new toy.
Right. Are there two buyouts that each team has? I mean, we're assuming they're using one on Redden, but do you think there's a good chance maybe they could try to buy out Gabrick? I think it's possible. If it's production depths, I mean, who knows?
Have you noticed this? It was on like Facebook. I don't know who it was, and maybe the new guy that got hired by MSG. But the guy on the people want clamoring for Wade Redden to get a chance. Get the hell out of here!
How quickly we forget
that guy. Sucks. Their own team.
How quickly we forget.
All right. And by the way, I think somebody just asked me why would they buy out Gavrik? Well, if you look at the contracts after next year, not this year, but next year, I think the only guys they have under contract are I think Stahl, Richards, and Nash. I think that's it. So I mean, who else, unless you want to buy out Richards? I mean, you know, they don't exactly have a lot of long term contracts coming up here. So that's my only point.
Okay. Well, Adam, I hope I answered your question to the best of my knowledge.
Well, all right, I do trust that was the best of your knowledge.
I don't know much.
Wow. No. All right, Adam, we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, man.
All right, sounds good. Can we be involved, please?
Will do. All right. Now we'll go to the... Oh, wait a minute. There we go. To the 845 we go. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Whoa. DB, how are you?
The voice
Good
of
man,
reason.
How are you?
The voice of reason.
The former voice of reason. I don't know if that's still true.
Oh, why is that?
What happened?
I don't know. It's almost infectious. How can you not think that they're poised to do great things with this roster?
I see the lockout did nothing for your phone connection. I would have thought your phone would have come back rested.
Yeah, well rested.
Well rested. Not so much.
It's like we just spoke to you yesterday as far as your phone connection's concerned.
It's like you're still speaking to me yesterday is what you're trying
to say. DB Maven's call sponsored by Magic Jack. Get yours at any Walgreens, CVS, ShopRite, or Walbaums.
Actually, I gave up Magic Jack. It was even worse.
Oh, my father-in-law had a Magic Jack. He called here. I thought he was drowning. I thought he was calling me to come save him. I thought I was going to have to get in the car and go to Vegas. I thought the poor old guy was under Lake Mead.
All right,
and
so
he was just on a Magic Jack.
Drop me off. I'll call back with another one.
All right. Thanks.
All right, you guys have a whole routine going there.
Yeah, it's something. Well, you know, it's amazing that we've gotten right back into... You know, we're all right back, right where we left off. There's no learning curve on this show. We immediately go into bag skates, just like John Tortorella.
Wow. So DB's calling back in.
DB will be calling right back in. So,
okay.
A second, we have no one else on hold.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I see people talking about Tracy is talking about the Scott Gomez saga with Montreal, as he has been given the heave-ho, I believe.
Yeah, well, they've essentially done the same thing with him that the Rangers are doing with Wade Redden. Go home, don't run with scissors, be very careful, wait 30 minutes after eating before you go swimming, and, you know, don't get hurt, and then they're going to buy him out when they have this thing that they're talking about for next season. Isn't it amazing that now what do Wade Redden and Scott Gomez have in common? Who gave them these contracts? These bloated, overpriced.
Curious. There's fighting words, you know. I see Mario Morgado's not here tonight, I don't think, and Mario has been pushing this that Sather has been an excellent GM.
Oh, he's a commie pinko.
Now, granted. In the Scott Gomez deal, we got Ryan McDonough.
Yep, yep, yep.
So, I mean, but I don't think it was like they had scouted McDonough and said, listen, we can get this gem.
Right.
And basically it was a salary dump so they could get Gabarek.
When Scott Gomez and Chris Drury stood on stage in their brand new jerseys with their arms around each other, I don't think Glenn Sather was sitting there thinking, I can't wait to buy that one out and trade that one for Ryan McDonough.
Right. So, I think Sather, my take on Sather is this. I think he's the master of the obvious. I think if there is a number one UFA out there, he's got the money, he goes after the guy, he gives the guy a 15-year contract, what have you. He's hired, you got to give him props for hiring the right people. You know, like I mentioned, Gordy Clark, the assistant GM, what's his name, Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah,
Jeff Gordon. He certainly hires the right people. And he's loyal, as he said, as Andrew Gross said. But my problem is the nuances. Guys, you know, the Brashear signings and the Bougard signings,
right,
and all that stuff. So
John Scott.
On the
good side in his ledger, he's made two very good coaching choices in a row after six bad ones, but two good ones in a row.
Right.
Again, but my problem is with Glenn Sather is the same now as it was. You know, I'll still say the same thing. The last 3-4 years still doesn't excuse him for the first six or seven.
That's right.
There were 100 disasters.
You know.
You know, yeah, okay, the last 4 years have been good. The first 7 years were an unmitigated disaster. I mean, they were.
No,
you defend them all you want, but they were an unmitigated disaster.
Yes.
Really, until the 2004 lockout, that was what, and he put Tom Rennie, and you know, gave Tom Rennie. Well, I guess he had already made Tom Rennie the coach at that point, right? Didn't Tom Rennie take over for Sather because Sather was coaching the team? I mean, it's 10 years ago now, almost. I'm trying to remember. You remember that? Remember?
Yes, I remember that.
Coach, and then he turned it over to Rennie, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. DB, you there?
Yes.
Hey, there he is from a
much better.
Is it much better?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Much better.
Brilliant. So now I know that I have to call in with a real phone.
Yeah. Get off the shoe phone.
I've tried. I won't even tell you what I've tried. I've tried Skype. I've tried Google Voice, Google Talk.
Pick up a goddamn phone already.
I'm on my cell phone, so the hell.
Oh, okay. He's got all these, as Eddie would say, hoiky-falunky phone apparatuses that he's trying to call in on. You just pick up a phone sometimes.
I like the other one, though. I like the one that breaks up, and I feel like he's in my head with that. He's got good modulation.
I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I feel like I'm on an episode of Fringe.
Yeah, I like that. So what wisdom do you have to impart on us, the great DB Maven? You always have great insight and great commentary. What's going on?
I don't know that it's kind of too early to have some brilliant insight other than it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, you haven't changed a lot on the team. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, my God, the penalty kill is going to suck. Well, all right, so it's taken a little bit of a hit because you had – definitely Dubinsky was a key on the penalty kill, but you've got Halpern, you've got new guys coming in, you've got Kreider, you've got Hagelin. There's plenty of guys that can, you know, pick that up, and I think a lot of people are certainly excited about the power play, but I still think that they have an opportunity on the point. They've got to get the point situation on the power play settled because that's the key. You've got to get somebody out there who can pull the trigger, and more importantly, when they pull the trigger, get it on the freaking net.
Yeah.
You know?
The Dan Girardi on the power play is going to end.
I said that last year.
Yeah, maybe Stahl's the answer. I don't know. He was showing improvement on the power play the year before.
Frank.
Right.
But, you know, when he got hurt, you know, that took him back. And if he's come back now and is starting, he was. I mean, Torrell had a comment in his presser today that Stahl started really showing himself in the playoffs. And you could see it. He was kind of just about the time the playoffs got rolling is when Stahlsy got back to being himself of the year before. So if he can start out this year and now pick up that growth pattern, you know, he may be the answer. You've also got to take a look at Anton Stroman, because he's actually did a pretty decent job on the point. So who knows? You know, maybe it's Delzato actually is starting to get his shots on net and doesn't, you know, and keeps the puck in the zone. Maybe they bring Wade Dredden back to play the point.
Lord. God help us all.
Somebody was commenting today on Facebook, and they were like, well, oh, God forbid he should go to, like, Philly or the Islanders and you know, be playing against us. And I was like, you said it earlier. Who cares? Who gives a crap?
Who cares?
Jeez. Oh, my God.
As many times as we sat and watched people walk around him, so now that's great. We know we can walk around him.
I'm not joking. He was the worst player I ever saw alive. Worst defenseman. I'm not joking. I mean, I've just never seen a worse defenseman. I mean, after he's been Philip, I mean, we dragged him through the streets, we hung him by, and now there's this, what do they have, these memories? What, do we feel bad for him? I don't care. Let's do what he's got to do.
But he was a nice guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the nice guy.
Oh.
I hate that.
Thank you, Mitch Beck. Thank you, Mitch Beck.
He's a great guy. He's teaching youngsters for $6 million a year. He better be doing something.
Yeah. He's a big draw in Connecticut.
Yeah.
We're averaging like 800 there.
You know, my grandmother, she'll still say it probably. Every time you see a commercial for anything from Japan, my grandmother, oh, how quickly we forget Pearl Harbor. You know, my same thing.
Oh, Grandma. That's what I would say.
How quickly we forget Wade Redden. It's the same thing. Almost.
Equating the Japanese. Wow.
Well, all right. Well, just how never mind. I think I just wanted to bust out my grandmother impersonation.
Oh, that's...
you've been waiting to do that for 3 years, haven't you?
Yeah.
That was just a lockout. He was waiting to use his
That's grand. Right. That's right. Nana Blum.
Nana Blum?
That's my answer. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, DB. Listen, we got one more call, and then we're going to wrap this up. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy opening weekend.
Yeah.
Well, leave me on hold.
Will do.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Costa.
Good evening.
What's going on?
Same old Left shit, different day.
What?
Same old shit, different day.
Oh, okay.
Eddie, we better be chill off for this weekend, I hope.
Uh-oh.
Saturday not available, Sunday available.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I got so screwed bad. I didn't realize they were playing both days, so I made plans for the weekend, so I'm out of any kind of get-together for Saturday night's opener. Sucks to be me.
Yeah, then we'll go see the home opener.
Eddie? Did we lose Eddie?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm excited. I can't wait to see some real sports. Not the banging, the grinding, the grudges, the scoring, and the Nash, and everybody afraid of us, and the Vezina trophy-winning Henrik Lundqvist. Is he going to get his Vezina? Did we have a ceremony for him? They have a ceremony for everything over at that place.
Another banner?
Yeah, it's a Sugar Plum Bumpkin Day, or whatever they rate banner. So, listen, I'm ready. I'm ready to go here. Start the season.
Jip. Joe Catroni sends me messages on Xbox Live, and all he'll say is, Jip. That's all it says.
Jip. What do you think? Are you on board with this? Rangers are like I said
last week. This is sacrilege, but I don't give a rat's ass. You put Cali on the line with Boyle and Pyatt, they're gonna fuck people up. They're gonna hit them with the kitchen sink. They're gonna hit everything that moves. People are gonna be afraid to play those guys.
I like it. So everybody's on board. Get ready.
All right. Good. All
right. Okay. Well, Costa, thanks for your call. We're running out of time as we speak. I'll be contacting you through the proper
internet
channels. Yeah.
The internet.
Internet.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Another show in the books, as they say.
Yes, sir. Another gem. Another gem.
I don't know what the fuck you people do.
That makes two of us, Howard.
Yes, Howard.
Now in our fifth year of broadcasting excellence.
Yeah, something like that. Another gem.
Another
like that.
Gem.
So next time we'll talk will be when? Next Tuesday? Is there a game? What are we going? What are we doing?
I don't know. Is there a game next week? Is there a game next Tuesday? Let's check that out really quick here. Let's see. What's today? Today is the 15th. So no, they will be off Monday and Tuesday. So we will rejoin you Tuesday night, and we will call it 2-0 Tuesday night.
That's right.
For Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.